It's been a drawn-out few weeks in the US since the presidential election, but what will be the lingering effects of the election, where the outcome was disputed by the losing candidate with claims of electoral fraud and vote rigging? Aditi Juneja is a lawyer with the non-partisan, non-profit organisation called Protect Democracy. We spoke earlier.
Traditionally, during the transition period, some number of officials who are need to be Senate confirmed go through the confirmation process. Now they start putting together staff, certainly. They also put together landing teams and begin working closely with their counterparts who are currently in government and begin getting up to speed so that they can hit the ground running on day one.
Are you and your team considering now that that's as close as we're going to get to a concession from President Trump? The tweet acknowledging that the transition can go ahead, that's really what's going to happen from here on in.
The key point is that a concession, while a norm, is not necessary or required as we are going through this process and results are being certified and the Electoral College meets. Joe Biden will be sworn in on January 20th at noon as the next president of the United States. And I think that's just important to name because a concession is not necessary for the transition of power to commence. And it in fact, is ongoing right now.
So when you consider the legal challenges that President Trump made in the wash-up from the election, are there any ongoing concerns about how elections are run in the US?
So I think there are the real concerns and then the perceived concerns. Certainly our elections can always be improved. Processes can always be improved. Security can always be improved. And that is something, those who work on election administration, including groups like mine, will continue to think about going forward. However, our, reports by international observers, our own government, others have said that this was the most secure election in U.S. history. And so I think the real challenge going forward is the perception that this election was not free and fair or secure, and the lack of confidence that will give to voters who may participate in future elections or in the outcome of this current election. And I think that perception is quite different from the reality, which is that this was our most secure election amidst extraordinary circumstances of a pandemic where states and local election administrators changed their rules, had to recruit new poll workers, had to some do mail-in voting for the first time. So amidst tremendous strife, this was an extraordinarily well-conducted election. And I think the concern going forward is that may not be the perception, and that will certainly have long-term effects for how elections are conducted in the future and even the participation in future elections.
How do you address that perception of the general public?
I think that, that it's an ongoing challenge. And I think this is not a challenge that's unique to the United States. In an era of social media and where people get to choose their news, where you don't have, just three broadcast channels, but people can listen to news however they choose to listen to it. That polarization of information, the spread of disinformation is an ongoing concern. And I know that there are many experts and scholars who have thought about how to work on this, but I think that there are not really clear answers just given how fast information spreads these days. I think that, one thing that we can all do is try as consumers of information also to be really thoughtful about what information we are sharing and spreading, and also to remain in contact and community with those who may be occupying different information ecosystems so that we can continue to communicate with them and understand why they are seeking out that information. Because it's not just a matter of supply that, disinformation is out there. It's also a matter of demand. Why do people want this alternate information? And I think there are deeper cultural challenges and issues to be wrestled with there.
That's Aditi Juneja, a lawyer with the non-partisan, non-profit organization called Protect Democracy.